I am absolutely a few people's daddy. Welcome to the Denim Dads Podcast. I'm Lono. I have three kids. I'm hanging out in Portland, the home of cold rain and nothing else. And you can find me on Instagram @_dad_chic.
And I'm Paul, and you can find me on the internet @cuffcheckdenim and dad of three outside Milwaukee. And there's also cold rain here sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm Jordan. I can't remember what order to go in here. I'm on Instagram @nifty_thrifty. I'm a father of four from Ontario, Canada, home of all things cold.
Hi guys, Adam. I am PGH style guy. I am absolutely a few people's daddy, and I am here in Pittsburgh. And it's actually not as bad as everyone else. So it's a little bit rainy, but you know, been pretty mild.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Pittsburgh is much worse than everybody else. But
yeah, we're cold.
See, this
but
is
I
where
mean...
it starts, right here.
So I have three announcements to make. One and most important, I can't see my computer monitor, so I'm going to be winging on the orders of what we do. Two. Welcome to season four. We have a new host, listener. If you haven't figured it out by now, it's Adam, Pagoda style guy.
Now and we don't have listener anymore though, because he's a host.
Yeah, we lost our one listener. You know, it's more efficient this way. And then three, we can finally confirm that Adam and Paul are not the same person because they're on a call together. Four continuous seasons later.
Paul, say something right now so people know that we're not the same person. You go right now.
Okay, Adam. Hello, Adam.
See, and we sound different too. So.
Oh yeah, but totally different.
You guys still there?
Yeah. You did a good job, bud.
Thanks. I feel good about it. I just said something quick, and then it was so effective that it just stunned everybody in silence that we are in fact not the same person. But I think this is kind of one of those situations where, like, when you meet your doppelganger in the street, like, one of you has to kill the other one.
It's already done. It's on its way. Jason Cole is on his way to your house.
So I cheated. I pulled up my Lono. iPad. I'm supposed to be talking now.
Got it. It's covering. That's what we do. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was very smooth podcasting. So today I am wearing clothes. Much like Adam is a daddy of some children, I am a wearer of some clothes. I'm wearing my secret denim trash, my 316 slate flannel, which is kind of like a purple gray, depending on how much sunlight's looking at it. My Withered Fig Marvington ones, the Vibrig collab in the light brown rough out with a dark tongue. And then I was wearing, because I'm in Portland, my Dehan jacket, which is awesome. It's the flight jacket in green with the, you know, the orange liner because I'm a fighter ace and the fluffy fur collar because I'm kind of a, you know, pimp, I guess. I don't know who wears fluffy fur. Shawling, whatever it's called. The jacket's awesome. I'm by no means a pimp. I'm an old, boring, married man.
Well, I think I'm up next. So yes. Today, and it's a lot. So, I mean, everyone, I wear a lot of things, right? So now this is going to take a long time for me to go through it. But I had my Taylor Stitch in Golden Bear Moto jacket on, so leather jacket, and then I actually had a Taylor Stitch sweater on, which I don't remember which one it was. It was a beautiful like cream waffle knit Brooks Brothers dress shirt, and then my denim was 316. It was the ST101X. I always wear comfy socks, so you know, that's like I don't think people really believe it, but it's like truly like pretty much every day. There's sometimes that I have other socks, but most every day. And then today was the introduction of the Byron boot from Rancourt, which was the tan bulldog Horween leather. So that was the first wear of those.
I was picturing those things going on in that order. Leather jacket first, then the sweater, and then throw the button up on top.
Wait, is that not how you dress?
I do make jokes a lot about like Joey from Friends whenever he will put all of Chandler's clothes on, because like that is my style. Like I just layer and layer and layer.
I'm gonna do the opposite. I'm gonna wear all your clothes, Adam.
So, it's Paul, and I'm still in uniform. I am wearing some Freenote. Actually, I am in top to bottom Freenote today.
It is actually Friday, so that's appropriate.
Yeah, it is Friday. I'm in Freenote for Freenote Friday. So I'm wearing, just going from the bottom, I'm wearing Freenote Wilks, and this is the brown denim with the black weft. And this denim is just so great. I love it. And I've been wearing it. I was noticing today that the black weft is showing through quite a bit, which just makes him look like kind of elegantly grimy. And I really love it. And
elegantly grimy. That's new, brand new sentence.
Yeah. Well, so I was wearing these down in Dallas, like back in November. I had some travel down to Dallas, and there was a American Field event there, and I met some of the guys from Freenote. Not Andrew, but a couple of other guys, and they one of them was wearing these work pants. Drew was wearing these work pants, and they were just totally broken in. It looked like he had been like painting houses for a summer or something like that in it, and it was just they were awesome. And I thought, man, I've got to take this denim to that place, because I think it can get there. So what they say is that the black weft eventually will then start to fade to white. And I can't even imagine what that's going to look like, but I'm going there. I haven't washed them. I haven't even soaked them. So they're raw, and they didn't recommend doing that. They recommended, soaking them, so they kind of break in and stuff, but I really like them raw. So,
but you're a rebel. So you don't follow those Freenote rules.
That's right. That's right. I bucket rules. Yep. But so I'm wearing that, and then I'm wearing a modern Western that has like bone buttons with these like amazing kind of pewter details around them in a sort of red, white, blue, and yellow plaid. And then I'm wearing the flannel lined rider's jacket, the sort of lighter colored one. And I was wearing my, I actually wasn't wearing my Grant Stone boots today. I was wearing my Rhodes Roper boots from Huckberry. And those are just so comfortable. But wanted to go kind of full Western today. And I was wearing my my Silver Belly Open Road, Stetson Open Road for the better part of the day.
I love those Freenote buttons, the bone buttons, so much. I have them on that blanket shirt. I just want those bone buttons on all my shirts now. They're so good.
Yeah, they're so good. Like the feeling of them even, like it feels like a bone. I know that sounds strange, but it's just like the bone part feels like it's like high quality bone.
I feel like we should have more bone-based clothing items. Like I want a jacket just made out of bones.
Start the trend of like
because like I'm like a child. Like you keep talking about bones and like who was it? Right said Fred.
I'm too sexy whatever.
I'm too sexy, but. Yeah, I wasn't thinking that it sounded strange what you were saying. I just thought it sounded completely dirty and phallic.
Yeah, that's where I was going. So you're off the same page.
Nope. Talking about actual bone. Dead-eye perverts.
That's who I was.
Sore Adam and I.
Dead-eye dick.
Anyway. Sorry,
right this is a family program.
Yeah.
Before you invited me, it was. Yeah.
Do you know how many preschools carry this podcast? Most of our residuals. Yeah. Listener is an 11-year-old.
When kids miss their parents, they tune into Denim Dads.
Yeah. Well, unlike Paul, my outfit has not allowed me to feel any bone today. But I'm wearing some Red Wing Oxfords, which I actually don't wear too often, but they're recently re-released in Europe. So I saw them in the closet and kind of had a hankering to wear those. But yeah, they're the Oxfords that aren't actually Oxfords. The unbranded brand, 18-ounce Nepi denim. I've been enjoying those, and pretty soon it'll probably get too warm to wear those. I don't wear the heavy stuff in the warm weather, so I'll try to get as many wears on those as I can. And actually, I just got it about a month ago, a Naked and Famous triple yarn flannel. But I wear it all the time. I've been just crazy about this thing. So I got that on today. And I think a couple weeks ago we said we'd say what watch we were wearing. But I just got this one today, actually. A gift from Robin and the Tissot PRX. I got the 35.
Oh, hell yeah. That is such a cool little guy. Watch.
I am in love with it. It's great. It's so, the only problem is the crown is really small and it's like a workout. My thumb was all sore by the time I got it wound and set. It's tough to get a hold of, but
what color?
It looks awesome. The gold with the gold waffle dial.
Oh yeah. It's like pure seventies drip right there.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, it would go with your fur jacket.
What was the reason for buying your watch?
Because she loves him.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I know you don't understand what that's like, Adam, but it's nice.
Her Nana had passed away and she wanted to do something memorable. So
are you gonna start killing the rest of her family to get more watches?
I don't think that'll work. No, I think I'm good. I got too many. But once I know to having one. And I don't know, I did a survey, something where I asked people on our Instagram what they wanted to talk about. And a lot of people are into like everyday carry stuff, which is, I'd never thought about talking about that stuff, but I had my Buck Decatur with me today because the pockets on the 18-ounce denim are so thick. It's one of the only knives I've got that the clip will easily fit over the pocket. So for those of you that said you wanted to hear more about knives and everyday carry, I had the Buck Decatur. Decent knife. Cut my apple today. So, did what I wanted it to. And I guess I get the honor of leading us into our season 4 discussion. So for Adam, every time we enter a new season, we talk about our favorite season that aligns with whatever season we're going into. So today we've got our favorite season 4. And I am going to go with season 4 of Dexter. I could probably pick any season of Dexter because I love that show. I actually talk about it now. I got to go and rewatch it because I just was such a huge fan. But in season 4 is the one where John Lithgow is introduced as the Trinity Killer. I don't know if you guys watch Dexter, but
I've seen it. Season 4 is really good.
Oh man.
I would disagree with any season after season 4. But season 4 really? Is fantastic. Yeah. I think the show falls off a cliff. But season 4 is good. So we can save the arguments for seasons 5 and 6 or whatever. Season 4 is great. John Lithgow is great.
Yeah.
That would have been a perfect finale for the show too, the way it ends.
I wish there was more. I think they got
about the end of season 4. Like they could have ended it there. It would have been perfect. Like full circle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like BBC does that where they don't try to stretch things out. They call it this is what we had planned. This is the closeout and we're done, and then we'll come up with some new idea that people will like. And there is something to be said about that.
They do that because they used all their extra seasons on Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
they had none left for other shows. So what's your favorite thing about season 4 of Dexter?
Just the whole, John Lithgow is amazing as a serial killer. Kind of makes you, anything you see him in after watching him in Dexter, you can see like just there's an element of almost creepiness to it. It's just, he's so good. And it's just kind of, I don't know, I thought it was interesting the way the two of them led that double life. And there was kind of that weird interplay of them having to kill the other or destroy the other, but they still had sort of that mutual understanding of each other. I thought it was amazing. And John Lithgow I thought was phenomenal in it.
He's actually playing the same character he played in The Crown. It's Winston Churchill.
I didn't watch Dexter, but John Lithgow, and I'm hoping that one of you knows this, right? He has a children's album called Singing in the Bathtub, where he sings like standards like songs that are like kids songs. And it's like pretty remarkable.
I did not know that.
Ironically, Adam, the finale to Dexter season 4, which is really good and really terrible, involves a bathtub. So he's got some good cross industry synergy here.
Yeah.
Children's song and serial killing.
I feel like every one of you needs, like, I mean, it is probably more for Paul than any of us, right? Because you've got the youngest now. But like, it is certainly I mean, Singing in the Bathtub is a great album. Like I listen to it. I mean, my oldest is 14 and we certainly listened to it for her. But yeah, John Lithgow has a like children's standards, like kind of like, you know, classic American crooner songs.
That sounds pretty good. We could probably get into that. I mean, our kid's favorite celebrity CD of cover songs right now is Lisa Loeb has lullaby album. And every once in a while, my 9-year-old just like pops it on. We never listened to it when she was a kid. We got it later, but she'll just like pop that CD in a CD player and just start just kind of rocking out to some like sad lullabies. And
I feel like TLC comes up on this podcast more than pretty much anything else.
No, I'm not talking about Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Left Eye Lopez. He's talking Lisa Loeb.
Loeb.
I'm not as interested.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was like, whoa, no. I'm a huge Loeb fan.
Yeah, Loeb's great. And she's from Dallas, which is kind of cool.
But she never taught me lessons about waterfalls. So.
That's true. I think
that was not her. No.
I think TLC needs to put out a kids album, though.
I mean, they got to keep up with Lithgow.
he's really leaving them in the dust. The long rivalry between him and TLC is really not as close as it used to be.
John Lithgow, seriously though, you need to sing it in the bathtub. Fantastic album. I don't care what you say. You can come at me, but it's a good one.
So. No one's coming at you. We're making.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, Jordan, great that sounds. That's how you wrap it up. I mean, tomorrow you could just put it on, listen to it at home all day.
All right. Maybe so. Like, my favorite season 4, and I feel like I hinted at this 17 years ago in season 2, is season 4 of The Wire. It's the one about the schools. It's so good. I think it's the best season of any television show ever. I think it's better than most films, better than most novels. It's so depressing. You just want to take a bath after you watch it. I tried watching it with my wife when we were doing the whole run through of The Wire. And she was teaching inner city schools at the time. And she's like, nope, I can't watch this. It's too real. Which I feel like is a hell of an endorsement. It's so good.
Yeah, I have to offer a second to that one, because my wife taught in an inner city school for a while. And we were watching that actually coming out. We were watching, we would watch them as they were coming out. And like by episode 5 or 6, there was one where there's a knife fight and a kid like cuts somebody else in the face. And she was like, yeah, I'm done. I just can't do this anymore. She's like, it's too real. I was like, okay, cool. So yeah, that was that's how most of the shows that I really, really like go, that like we'll watch it for a little while and then it's just on me to watch it by myself, which is, you know, that's fine. I can do that.
Yeah, yep, no, I have the same problem. A lot of compromise shows in my living room. It's neither one of our favorites, but it's okay enough.
Yeah, speaking of, season 4 of Love is Blind. Oh man, so good. Kidding.
That's, I don't even know what Love is Blind is.
I was going to say, wow.
It's a horrible, but like oddly entertaining Netflix show blind. That's put on by Nick Lachey. they meet each other, but they can't see each other. They're in these pods. This is not my choice, by the way. This is not my my best season 4.
It's too late. It's
no, but they meet in these pods and then they talk to each other. But they can't see each other. And then they each kind of like, so it's like two different groups. You know, there's like men that live in a men's place and women that live in a women's place. And then they like have these different dates. And anyway, people kind of like pair up and then they have to propose to one another before they have ever seen each other. And then they get to see each other and they figure out, they have like 40 days from then to figure out if they're going to make it to the altar. It's oddly entertaining. But that's often the TV show that my wife is watching when I'm coming down the stairs from putting my kids to sleep, and we have to decide if we're gonna keep with it or change to something else.
It sounds like you've watched a lot more of it than just when you're coming down the stairs.
You know what? I have. I sit down. And it's like, oh, what's going on with this couple now? Yeah. How are they doing?
My wife watches it on the Peloton. I'm not sure how it gets her hype for bike rides, but that's her Peloton show. And I don't get it, but whatever. So I've seen a few minutes here and there. I can see why it would be captivating. It's so bad it could be good.
Yes, I've heard, exactly.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard the first season of Love Island is so incredibly bad. It's like legitimately genius. I'm going to watch it eventually.
So my actual favorite season four is probably Mad Men season four. And that's kind of a deep cut. I mean, or at least it's an old show, but there's so many good things that happen in that one, because Peggy, who was the secretary and then kind of rises in the ranks, that it's kind of right at her hinge point where she's really starting to pitch good ideas and is getting included in things at the ad firm. It's the introduction of Megan, who becomes Don Draper's wife for a season. And she's kind of amazing. She's supposed to be a Canadian. I think she's from Montreal. So she's kind of French and she's kind of North American and just a great character. And Don Draper's life is like truly starting to spin out of control. And it's like all the things that make the show great. And like a lot of the trajectories, like his marriage is falling apart. The new woman comes in, Peggy, who, you know, everybody's kind of rooting for, is coming up, and Don Draper, you're learning more about his life, and it's all unraveling. It's fantastic.
Is the suicide in season four?
The suicide. I can't remember.
I love Mad Men, but I can't break down the arcs by season in my head. But
yeah, no, yeah, I can't either. I had to look into this one.
I didn't get to season four because it, like you said, it was on, you know, quite a while ago, back when people still watched shows on cable TV. And so we had friends that had cable and we used to go to their house once a week to watch the episode of Mad Men. But we never got to season four. I don't know if this part already got cut off, but because our friends ended up getting divorced and we didn't have cable, they did. So we didn't, we only saw Mad Men up until whenever they split. It was a different time back then. So I should go back though, because I honestly, after that, so we would have watched, yeah, two or three seasons of Mad Men and really enjoyed it. But then we never watched it after that because it was kind of in that window. We used to go to Blockbuster to rent DVDs of TV shows to watch, but it was kind of by that point, I don't know if Blockbuster was completely closed down by then or if it wasn't really, you know, that wasn't your Friday night anymore, like scouring the racks of Blockbuster to see what you wanted to watch. So I should go back and watch Mad Men. I think I'd enjoy it.
I did literally own Mad Men on Blu-ray, so I'll just mail it to you. We'll go full era appropriate for the show. We'll go nostalgia in a show about nostalgia, and we'll knock this out in the proper way while
especially
listening
if
to
it's
some,
season four.
Some bathtub singing. Let me get. Let's go.
Dude, don't mess around. I'm telling you, there was like a meatball song.
You know, I'd pay good money for him doing his Winston Churchill singing. That's what I want to hear.
So all of this, I think, segues in perfectly for me, right? Because we're talking about Blockbuster, and you know, Blockbuster, if you didn't know, actually had the opportunity to buy Netflix at one point, right? And they laughed them out of the office, and so of course Netflix, of course, bankrupt Blockbuster, and all of this leads into how boring I am. And so all the shows you guys talk about, I actually have seen a little bit of Mad Men. I have not seen much of it. But I'm also very dramatic. So I'm going to paint a picture for you. Okay. So picture it. It's season four. Okay. Episode seven. All right. Shark Tank. And it's going to change your life because it was Scrub Daddy. Right. And if you guys don't have Scrub Daddies in your house, you are doing something wrong. Okay. So Scrub Daddy was,
I'm doing a lot of things wrong.
I mean, well, and it, listen, if Lana's going to send you the Blu-ray of Mad Men, I'm going to send you some Scrub Daddies, buddy. Cause you know, in hot water, they soften, in cold water, they're crisp, right? You can clean anything with a Scrub Daddy. And so you have to understand that I am actually a huge fan of like QVC, jewelry, television, anything where someone is hawking their wares on television and they have to fill time, right? Like I spent my entire life watching these folks like just talk and fill like voids of air. And Lori Grenier, right? So she ended up investing in Scrub Daddy. It was one of the most lucrative investments that were ever made in Shark Tank history. But it makes sense. Lori Grenier is probably the best out of all of them. She's the QVC queen. I mean, that's what she's known for. So I am taking you to season 4, episode 7, specifically because it featured Scrub Daddy. And if you don't have one in your kitchen, get it now.
All right. So, Adam, three questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
One, if they have a bad idea, do they actually get thrown in a shark tank?
I mean, no, that's perfect.
In the shark tank.
Survive.
Two, Mark Cuban's on that show, right?
Yes, yes.
Three, have you seen Silicon Valley?
Mm-hmm. I have.
So do you remember Russ Hanneman from Silicon Valley?
Three commas?
Trace commas. That character is a parody of Mark Cuban. Did you know that?
I didn't, but you want to know something really? Were you ready for this? Cuban's from, he grew up in an area called Mount Lebanon. And so Mark Cuban, actually, his roots are here in Pittsburgh. So that, I mean, the douche doesn't fall far from the tree. So, you know.
And he put radio on the internet.
He did. You're absolutely right. Right. That was his first thing. And, you know, and I don't even like the sports, but I know that much. So.
And also it's fucking Lebanon, you weirdos. And you can't pronounce anything correctly in that state.
Yeah. So, you know. For the folks that know Pittsburghese, yeah, we don't pronounce anything correct. I mean, I won't go down the road of all of my Pittsburghisms. So yes, Shark Tank, season 4, episode Grub Daddy, Lori Grenier, QVC. And I will finish. So the last thought with QVC is, if you've never seen it, Mike Rowe, he at one point was a QVC host. And if you've never watched the videos of Mike Rowe hosting QVC, you really should. You should just search it up. It is a joy. When he is hawking,
for me to Google. I mean, tonight.
That is a dirty job, so it makes sense.
It is. I mean, and he really worked it. It was good. So
I have to get a Scrub Daddy though. I just looked that up.
I will pick somebody. I will send one up. That'll be the gift to you and the missus for, you know, hosting me when I was up in Toronto. So
there you go.
You can clean your new watch with it.
There you go. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that, actually. It's like pot to pan. It's pretty utilitarian. So
Jordan,
you can go anything but.
The PRX is a beautiful, beautiful piece. Please don't get the Scrub Daddy on it.
I won't. Unless it's with warm water, right? Then it's soft. Is that?
And it does soften. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, when you get the Scrub Daddy, you'll understand. You'll understand the importance of season 4, episode 7, Shark Tank.
What's the importance of the smiley face on the sponge, though? I'm looking up pictures right now.
I mean, I think it's just to make it endearing. You know, you really don't want to get me going down this, but so the smiley face, like the like quintessential 1980s smiley face icon.
Forrest Gump invented it.
That it actually was developed by a professor at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh.
Forrest Gump went to the University of Alabama.
That is movie trivia versus real life. And I am full of Pittsburghisms, so. All right, so is it my turn? Do I get to close out?
Yep. You get the honor.
Ready? All right. So for those that follow along, Tuesdays, right, are dad jokes. And, you know, the ones that I put on the Instagram have to be, you know, they have to toe a certain line. But here I chose a little different tactic. So, all right, here goes. So a threesome involves three people. A twosome involves two people. That's why they call me handsome.
Or is that why they call you Scrub Daddy?
That's when the days are a little tougher.
It's actually a job. I think it's a job for Mike Rowe.
That's it. You know, QVC. It's all, we came full circle tonight, guys.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. All right, guys. Guys, good fun. See ya.
All right. Ha ha ha!